Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to the Sum of Us. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. We had such an intense show on Tuesday, didn't we?
Right?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
That just opened up a whole portal of everything.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think, I think, I mean, it's very helpful for me. Obviously.
For all of us.
Very helpful for me.
Trust.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, especially coming, I think, after being in the Philippines, especially, and sort of connecting with a lot of different things, like on social media, about, you know, Filipinos and Filipino culture and, you know, on the one hand, you know, our family, the idea of family and overall it's such an important factor. And you know, for me it's been a huge blessing to have the sort of family I have, to have lined it up mm-hmm. that way. And then also there are these other deeper issues that
mm-hmm.
it's just relationship dynamics. And you know, our particular family has to deal with a lot of different things. And I think part of what's been helpful is seeing how, not that, oh, yeah, everyone has it. It's just, I mean, that's not a great situation, but it's sort of like, oh, okay. So there are so many cultural things that
mm-hmm.
Factor in to just about everybody's family. So,
yes.
You know, this is bigger than just an individual. It's bigger than, you know, one particular family. There's a pattern here that, especially as children of immigrants, you know, we have an opportunity to change and to hopefully heal from it. We can change it and still be like just as destructive, but to change it and to heal from it. And so, anytime you change something, change is happening all the time, but as they're trying to tell me, hold on, change is happening all the time, and we take a while to align fully with it. And alignment takes, it's like going to the chiropractor, like it hurts, or it sounds like
mm-hmm.
it should hurt, but maybe it doesn't. It sounds like
mm-hmm.
it sounds like there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of noise, but it's like, oh, but that felt good. Okay, and you don't even know how out of whack you were until you get into whack, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and you start to feel differently in your own skin, in your own body. You start to appreciate your own space.
Yes,
and the perspective that it allows you. So, the conversations that we had and you know, thank you to Marguerite, who is in the chat, and she's in the chat today, for mm-hmm. contributing and sharing, you know, some crazy stuff that's happened.
And she's not from the Philippines, unless it's Philippine Ohio.
It's
universal, but then when you have that cultural lens, you know, which is intense, because then we have managing cultural differences and you not being raised directly in that cultural, but that's the background running mm-hmm. through it as we're in America.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. It's deep, but what's really emerging is the compassion. Because when you talk about your mother, there are certain things that are so identical to things that I experienced with my mother. Even though the cultures are different, I think my mother is, well, my mother's passed, but I think my mother's 2 years older than your mother, or 3 years older, just a couple, so they're very close in age. But some of the things that you say, because they were raised in the same era and they had to come to, you know, this country and come from a very challenging past, wanting a good life for their children, sacrificing everything, and then feeling and being burdened with how they needed to present, you know, and the suffering that came with that, and then all the unhealed trauma.
Right.
You know, and the fact that they made it here, raised American children, living, quote unquote, the American dream. It's almost like they're going to say, so what else do you expect?
Right.
You know,
right.
And to a point, they're kind of right.
Yeah.
Because what they achieved, regardless if we like their personalities or the way that we were treated or emotionally mistreated, again, I to their credit, it's like, yeah, you got a PhD and you know, and crossing the border, like, yes, you are absolutely right. And I've gotten to the place this, and it's very recently, because so like the mask is just on a collective and individual scale, and in a very painful way, because it's never been deeper. Every single mask that we have, that we're trying to hide behind, and that they have used to shield themselves to protect, it's becoming, you know, they're becoming obsolete. We're outgrowing the mask, and they're holding on to the mask. And what's crazy is that there's nothing left to the mask.
But,
you know, there's nothing left. You know, they have their fingers through the eye holes, and that's it. There's nothing. There's nothing left. But to their credit, why should we expect anything more? Because what they did was insurmountable. They broke their own patterns because they left.
Right. Right.
They raised children. They raised American children. That's huge. And I'm so relieved that I'm just finally touching ground with nothing but compassion and just really thinking about, oh my God, my mother was 29 years old and she was raising four kids, fathered by someone that wasn't around and betrayed her horribly. And all these other things, you know, her upbringing, whatever.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof, because she was abandoned. You know, she was so abandoned. So, of course, she raised four abandoned children because that's all she knew, you know. And for you to be the pattern breaker, for me to be the pattern breaker, for me to be brave enough to be divorced, for me to be brave enough to be a legit single mother, not a you know, imprisoned single mother, because my mother was still married till, you know, my father's death. And being the dutiful wife, but with raging resentment, which probably killed her and gave her cancer twice, and she died of heart-related problems. Hello, where did all that come from?
Yeah.
You know, so we're striving to work on our health on a cellular level to break those patterns, to take our growing in compassion for our mothers and for the other players in our scope of experience. All roads are leading to compassion to the self. So I think it's because you, with your self-compassion and your self-healing, making that the priority, you know, resting, you know, people may judge you like, she's always resting. Well, think about it. My friend Teresa, who I talk about, that Anna went to do her retreat in New Mexico. She's become a very dear friend. Talk about childhood trauma. She is a victim of ongoing rape that took place by a family member as a child. And then raised by a religious family. I believe her father was a pastor.
Wow.
So she got issues with church. She got, and what she, and she's a healer. She's an herbalist. She's a master acupuncturist. She's starting, she's going to start with her retreats. She renovated her garage to be a fully functional apartment so that the retreat, so the person having the retreats can now have their own space on her property, which is beautiful. So she's restarting that because of COVID and everything else, and now she's doing it. That it's going to be of such mutual benefit. But what she does for herself, and she's been doing this, I don't know for how many years, but I would imagine quite a few years, every season, so four times a year, for a week, she does her own retreat for herself. This is how she's able to stay sane, to to manage the trauma. So don't feel bad when you got to take a nap. To manage the trauma of living and embracing those wounds, it makes her an incredible healer. It makes her who she is. So there's no resentment. There's no malice. There's peace. But to maintain that delicate, fragile peace for herself, she'll put herself first, take 1 week every season, and that's where she will not, she will shut down her phone, and she just doesn't talk to anyone, and she isolates for 1 week every season, and that's what keeps her grounded. So we always talk, like, before she goes into retreat, like, when are you going into retreat? And that, and anybody that knows her and loves her, so she has her acupuncture practice. She doesn't book patients during that time. Her dear friends and her family members know she can't be reached. So when COVID happened, when they did the shutdown, exactly around this time of year, she was in retreat.
Oh, wow.
She didn't even know what's going on. She gets out of retreat. So in that week in March, that 4 years ago, the shutdown happened. She gets out of retreat. She checks her phone and she's like, oh, shit, I can't even leave the house. Oh, do I have toilet paper? Isn't that crazy? It's crazy how you step out of frame. You're like, okay, I'm going to go backstage for a sec. I'm going to go to my dressing room. Okay, this, I'm not in the scene. It's time to go back for your scene. You look at your phone, and you're like, oh, there's a global pandemic. What the hell? But that's a chronic and extreme self-care practice. But then when you think about it, that warrants a chronic and extreme self-care practice.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can, you know, you can intellectually have a lot of compassion, but if you can emotionally have self-compassion to understand, this is what I need to do for me because this is how I cope. This is how I manage. This is how I'm not being a victim. This is how I'm not being a narcissist. This is how I'm not being an addict.
Mm.
This is how I can be stable, kind, and grounded to the outside world, but the way that I could be stable, kind, and grounded to myself is to step out of frame sometimes.
Mm.
So now maybe you don't have, you know, you can feel that there's a clarity to why you feel you need to sort of just like shut the world out for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, I retreat into the mom cave because it, there's two, there's too much, and because we're such we're so wired to be so energetically sensitive, sometimes it's hard to know where your energy ends and then you're just picking up on the chaos around you. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of need to just sort of see where that sits, because usually all roads lead to your self-understanding, but it's provoked or catalyzed by outside. And then when you understand the root cause, then the self-compassion can flow, as opposed to the coulda, woulda, shoulda, because that's bullshit. And I think we're outgrowing that. I hope that's making sense.
No, it does. It does. And, you know, I was able to hang out with Anna the last couple of days.
Nice.
You know, she's been trying to take care. Well, and Amy too. You know, they're weeding through the stuff left behind from their friend Gloria passing.
Right.
And, Anna is in charge of the psychic fairs here in the Atlanta area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so there's a lot to do with, you know, her space in the barn that they use a psychic fairs for. And so there's stuff of hers. There's a lot of stuff there. I haven't even seen her house. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah,
but
her house is amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we spent, yesterday was there. The day before, we were over at, Anna and I were at Donna Tarazas, who's our acupuncturist. And it wasn't like we were getting treatment. We were actually just hanging out and catching up. And like, she has built an extension to the front of her house, and she had a little entrance, a little deck. And what she did is she expanded it. So it's really, and her house looks out across the street to a part of Lake Lanier. So it's a really nice view. And she's out there all the time anyway, but before, I think she only had really space for like two people to sit out there. You know, now it's quite spacious.
That's great.
So it was a sunny day. We both were just, at one point, Anna took a nap in the sun. At another point, I dozed off. And,
see, that's beautiful.
Apparently.
Because you guys needed that.
Yes. And Donna, in the last, since like I think it was in August of last year, she ended up getting the flu, like the same flu that I had, influenza A.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
A for Lisa.
A for It has my name on it.
A for
B would be my last name.
Attention.
Whatever.
Not attention. I said, oh, you misheard me. A for ascension. I said.
Oh, ascension. Ooh.
Girl, I didn't say ascension. I said ascension. Hello?
So she said that it took her a few months to kind of get back to normal.
Wow.
And I'm like,
we all got trauma to heal. You know, we all got stuff. That's what it's for, you know?
So I've been feeling at times like my energy is good, and then it's like, I'm done. I'm done.
And see, but that's okay. It's what you need. And I really hope that you just don't even question, and that you don't feel like I should be doing this or what's wrong with me or whatever. Like, I think it's just part of how to manage everything. And the way that, you know, Teresa, who I mentioned, does these very, you know, these very specific scheduled retreats. I'm not suggesting for any of us to do that, but to sort of look at it through that lens of, okay, this is, I need to go into a temporary retreat. It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. It could be a nap.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need to function, to process. I'm not in denial. I'm not an ostrich. I'm not in avoidance. But at the same time, I don't have to force myself to slay every freaking dragon, you know, that's in front of me either.
Right.
I need to regroup and then process, learn, have some grace, and move through to the other side with an awareness and clarity. Because then if you're more conscious about it, the root cause really comes to your face. It really presents itself, you know, and it doesn't have to be so fragmented or so fractured or that you, or that there's a disconnect. You know, maybe look at the time out, so to speak, as something very valuable to get you to that place of clarity, as opposed to feeling like, I'm not saying you're doing this, I'm speaking for just very generally, or to feeling that there's a deficit or there's a weakness or there's something wrong with you or that you're not at capacity. Maybe this is really the key. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was going to take a while because, jet lag and traveling and all that, and then traveling with just getting over the flu. And I just found out one of my cousin's kids in the Philippines, I think he's like, I don't know how old he is now. He's elementary school age. He's maybe 7.
Mm-hmm.
He's had pneumonia. And he's been in the hospital for pneumonia. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow,
that's crazy. Maybe that's where you got it.
He just got, well, no, because my aunt had pneumonia. No. I mean, we all had some type of respiratory something.
See, well,
traveling.
That's a collective. That's everybody.
Yeah.
See, it's all ties.
Yeah.
See, no one's immune. Right.
So I was
Everybody has to take that, sure.
I was surprised that it was him because they were posting, he's in the hospital. I'm like, well, he's in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how long he's been in the hospital, but he So it might not have been right immediately, you know, while we were there, but because it's now March and when we saw him, it was late January, but he had pneumonia and they were really concerned about him. So I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, today after the show, I'm taking my aunt to just get a follow-up. She's going to get a chest X-ray.
Good.
Just to make sure everything's out of her system, you know?
Good.
From her bout with pneumonia while she was in the Philippines.
No,
so
good.
I think it's just wild that there's this level of attention and then purging.
Literally, that's what's going on. And the lungs, it's grief. It's healing.
It's grief.
It's grief.
Yeah. When I was a lot younger, my mom had told me that. I think they had wanted to travel as a family to Canada, and my doctor, my pediatrician was like, no, she's she has weak lungs, let's hold off on that for a little bit. This is when I was young.
Wow.
I was told I had weak lungs, and of course years later I'm looking that up. Oh, there's grief. I'm like, well, what the hell did I come into this world grieving?
Tell me about
okay, well, these are just little tidbits that
little crumbs, to lead you to the treasure of consciousness, and you can just have that non-attachment, and that's you're well on your way, and it's interesting because you're having real time verification of that. Look at how the difference, when I asked you on the show about the last time with all that energy with your brother, look at the difference from 9 years ago to today, because I know you are so much more detached from it today than you were 9 years ago, because this has so little, his response has so little to do with you and everything to do with clarity. This is mattering so much less every day. It's a little less. It doesn't matter because it's not of matter. He is so of the material world. And with each passing moment, you become less and less attached to that. That's freedom. That's freedom. So it's going to become more and more his story and less your story, because you'll accept it for what it is. with your mother, with everything, you're just going to accept it for what it is. And that's not denial. That's not resignation. That's grace. And that's your self-growth. And another thing I wanted to mention, in addition to how intense Tuesday's show was, again, like, and thank you, Blog Talk, for not screwing up, because it was really frustrating for like a month there before you left.
Mm-hmm.
I so love this format and the platform, because there's no substitute for being there live for people who need us. I was mm-hmm. so happy that Tessa felt safe enough to give us a call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, there's no substitute. The price we have to pay is that, you know, we're going to have unreliable service from Blog Talk. I think it's worth it, because nothing can replace not knowing what we're going to talk about, right? And then just being a safe space for people to come to us and for us to support them and for the facilitation to shift the energy to take place.
Mm.
Can't beat it. I can't replace it. There's no substitute for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve.
I know. Interesting.
Yeah. Yesterday, like I said, we spent clearing out, like, she had clothes at the barn, because she basically stayed there. She rented out her house through Airbnb, and she pretty much just stayed at the barn.
Good.
So she had all the nooks and crannies were filled with stuff. And on one side of that, the top part of the barn, she had clothes and like hanging clothes, and she had clothes in suitcases, and she had clothes in a chest of drawers. So we got through. Amy had already started, of course. I'm just like, I'm going to defer to Amy. She's the boss.
Because it's Amy.
And she can take a look at things and say, yeah, well, you know, that's something that maybe we could try to sell at online, or if it's really good, you know,
right.
something that we can,
right.
we can make some type of money out of and put it back into,
right.
you know, into what needs to happen for her stuff, you know, just, you know, she still has, you know, bills to pay and all that.
Right.
So we're just trying to figure out ways. Also, we have to get that space cleared out. I don't know how long we have, but
So the
anyway.
Space, once the lease is up, like you guys aren't going to take over the space. You're just going to let it go.
Well, no, because we just found out the other night that it is that area is zoned now for a park and a parking deck at some point. Like there's a few buildings that will be affected. That whole strip. The
mm-hmm.
landscape of that is going to change. Like whoever the local council had already kind of put plans in motion, and I don't know if they're just waiting for, you know, for her to to pass or what. But so now it's sort of out of the out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we would have been able to maintain.
Well, that's good, though.
I mean, it's a 200 year old barn. So now, you know,
yeah,
it was just it's more, it's an opportunity to grow, because we're kind of out of that space. But then it's just finding a new space for that event in particular. But, you know, also thinking bigger picture, you know, what else
mm-hmm.
could we be using that space for during the week, so that it's not just, you know, we're just waiting for a psychic fair to bring in money.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So anyway, that's
mm-hmm.
part of it, you know. So the process that I'm involved with, I mean, and Anna's always talking about it now, you know, where to, how to continue with these psychic fairs in different parts of town. So it's not just maybe once a month, it's maybe twice a month, but in different areas, so that, you know, if you don't want to drive across town, you don't have to,
mm-hmm.
and you'll still have the same quality of readers and,
mm-hmm.
and practitioners. But, you know, we're going through her stuff, and and I'm looking at all the clothes. I'm thinking, this is such like a microcosm of what my mom has. And I'm like, I do better when it's somebody else who's just sifting through, like, you know, like if you want it, you can take it, but otherwise, you know, we'll donate it or we'll do something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. So that went by, and Annie's really good at that. So, you know, we're all trying on different things. I'm like, oh, okay.
I love that. That's fun.
But, you know, and it's the same kind of thing where, you know, you have to go through, like, all the pockets just to make sure. There's no, or, you know, especially, like, she had all these handbags. I'm like, let's go through. We, you know, she had, beach bag. That's her beach bag because there's, you know, there's a bunch of suntan lotion in here, bottles of suntan lotion, and, you know, bathing suits, change of clothes, sunglasses. Like, okay, she had a couple of bags like that. It's just really interesting to go through. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking, I'm going to have to do this. I mean, I did it with my Aunt Thelma, but she was moving.
One day it's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
In this case, there isn't anyone to ask who's not completely, like, that's my stuff. You know, I need this, I need this. I did that with Barb.
I remember her.
Years ago, that's part of the process. She was moving, downsizing, and was planning to move. And she knew she had to get rid of all these things that she had inherited. And she had that in a storage space. And she's like, well, maybe the kids. And she's like, nah, you know, after a while, these kids, they've got their own homes full of stuff. So she just had to figure these things out. But she was pretty good about, you know, where she thought it needed to go, if it needed a second chance. And then if not, then, you know, we'll donate it to the Kidney Foundation. Or she would make a lot of donations. Or I took it. She's like, well, if you want it. So this is just one part of where Gloria, you know, spent her time. It's where she spent a lot of her time. Then she has the house too. So it's been interesting to go through. And, you know, there are all these metaphysical things that are there, which is really cool. We're still having the fair in April. So it's only, you know, beginning of April. So there's not a lot of time. Yeah. So, you know, we're just trying to shift through like the main stuff. And we've sort of, if people have said, oh, I really want to have that. She's like, ahead of time, Gloria had donated certain statues that she has of like the Buddha. You know, she's donated one to a really big one to a local like Unity Church. But she had a lot of stuff. I mean, Katie's going through and she's finding like little knickknacks and she's like, what does this do? Like, what is this? So she just, oh my gosh, it was, you know, it's a bittersweet process.
Of course.
I mean, I was not as close to her as Anna and Amy were. They spent a lot of time with her.
Yeah.
But you know, she was still such a big force to be reckoned with. And and what's also interesting is like another person came by, an old friend of hers. They kind of like they have like these polar opposite but big energies. Like she came by and last night we were just about to wrap up and she came by and I don't know what she had to do. She had to drop off something, but I don't know. She sat down for a little bit and we're all sitting around talking. There were a few of us who were there and. Because Gloria was big on numerology, her style of numerology, this person was asking do you have your phone? She's asking me, out of all the people, she's asking me, do you have your phone? I said, yeah, it's in my hand. Like, yeah. And she said, like, look up the energy of the five. And I said, what do you want to know? So what do you want to know?
You don't need a phone?
Oh, I know. But she doesn't know me that way.
No, I know. I'm just laughing.
What do you want to know?
I'm just laughing.
I know. So she's like, no, but if you just Google it, I said, I'm a numerologist, right? She's like, I didn't know that. And I said, how come I didn't know that? You know, I'm just like.
It's your lucky day.
Yeah. And I realized, you know, years ago, and I know I told you this story, years ago, that. Well, a lot of the readers, when I was at the psychic fair there, a lot of the readers were like, why am I doing a reading for you? you should talk to Gloria.
Yes.
And do your readings here. And I said, okay. So I did. And she wanted me to do something else. Like she said, well, what else do you do? I'm like, this is what I do. She's like, well, come back.
Gloria
like,
said that
you
to
know,
you?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. She's like, well, you know, people need to see something. They need to touch something. Like, you know, if you do cards. I said, well, I don't do cards. At that time, I didn't do cards. Like, that's not my wheelhouse. Like, I do numerology. And it was, and you know, the way I took it, of course, especially as young as I was, and you know, she'd been doing these fairs. I've been going to those fairs for years, like since the mid-90s. I've been going to those fairs.
Wow.
And she was just like, you know, just in her way, it's like, oh, you know, you need to have something else. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not doing readings here because I'm not gonna pick up a new thing just to do the readings that have nothing to do with what I do, you know.
No,
so
of course
I just,
not.
So what I realized I would still go to the fairs because I enjoyed them, but I just let her, like, she just has to take that stage when she had to do her numbers.
She
was
to take the lead. Yes.
Yeah.
She's very, she's a very specific personality.
Yes. So I just let her do her thing. But she knew I did numerology. She knew I did numerology because I told her I did numerology.
Of course she does.
But it was just really interesting because then she never really talked to me about it, you know, said anything about it. And neither did I. I didn't bring it up because after a while, I just got busy and weekends were spent doing something else. So I didn't always have time.
Right.
But it was just really interesting. So many people around her were like, oh, you do numerology. And Anna's so funny. She's like, Gloria does like street numerology. And she, not to say she didn't do numerology because she did. She based it a lot, from what I understand, she based it a lot off of a book from an author. And he, even in that book, it's called The Life You Were Born to Live or something. You know, he says it's not numerology. It's based on numerology, but it's not numerology.
Oh,
so she pretty much just did your birth date. She didn't do the name and all that. And it's so funny because we sat there, Anna and I sat the other night, and when I got her full name, I said, is that her name? Is that her birth name? She's like, yeah. I said, okay. So I did her name. And there are all these numbers. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that. I said, yeah, there's a lot more to it than just your birth date.
Because you do charts. You do a whole thing, like an astrologer. Like, you do a whole thing. Like,
There's numbers in the name. You know, there's a part of me that I realized I wasn't going to be like, I'm a numerologist here. You're a fraud. Mm-hmm. I would never say that because she's got a lot of good stuff happening. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of knowledge, you know, a lot of intuition. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's her space too. It's just like, well, that's, it's just,
exactly.
It wasn't.
I would have handled it the same way. I'm like, go ahead, queen.
Like,
you're the queen.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, seriously.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's her. It's her kingdom. Her queendom, you know, absolutely. Her queendom. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting now because the plan is for me to do readings. I can't do it the Saturday of that.
But you're
going to
be the resident numerologist. Look at that.
Maybe.
You didn't even have to work for that. The position is there for you to step into it. You know, it's like you're the vice president and the – you know what I mean? It's like you have to take the reins because the president's no longer able to perform their duties.
Yeah. It's a different vibe when she was there. I was like, okay, well, you know.
Oh, she has a very specific vibe. Trust me. Like, and then once she talked to me for 5 minutes and then she decided she liked me, you know, then we were hanging out. And she tried to get, it was really funny. She tried to, because she knows I'm out and about, you know, being single and getting myself into trouble, but these days not into trouble. But back then when I met her, I was getting myself into all sorts of trouble, but it was fun. And she wanted to give me, that I passed because one, I didn't have room in my suitcase, and two, it was just way, way, way too big for me. But it made me chuckle because it was probably something that she wore like in the 70s or whatever. It was really cool, but I couldn't, I mean, not even Halloween could I even wear this. So I'm not a Halloween person, but it was this red lace dress.
Hello.
Hello. It was like sluts or us, but classy. classy. I'm a classy slut. Classy. And I'm like, oh, the trouble she must have gotten into dress. I don't even want to put it on because I'm going to have to, like, you know, get tested. I don't even want to put it on. But she was up to I just looked at her. I said, "Ooh!" I said, "Well, you had fun, didn't you?" She goes, "I did." And she would talk about places in New York that don't exist, but places that I remember from growing up there. And so, like, I got all her references because I'm from New York. So, And I got to tell her about, you know, my latest escapades, and she was asking me all sorts of questions and things, and I'm glad I met her. I'm glad I spent time at the barn. I'm glad I went to her house. I'm glad I just had, like, a little snapshot. But she is an intimidating character.
Yeah, she can be. Yeah.
She needed to run the show, and she has a very dominant personality. But that was her form of protection, because this is, you know. And just masking a lot of sadness and a lot of loss, you know, and you know, to have lost her daughter the way that she did, devastating, and she needed that tough facade. She needed that brick and mortar to really protect, you know, the devastation of what she had gone through. And everybody handles these things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And she just really needs to be the dominant energy. That was her sense of protection, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it totally tracks. It was just interesting how, you know, how things would shake out. I'm like, all right, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, because Anna also has a very strong personality. Mm-hmm. She can hold her own for sure. And to have those two together, it was just so funny. So I'm like, it's worked out, obviously. I mean, there's no ill will. It's just, I just remember that part of it where it was such a blow for me, because I really wanted to find an outlet for this, for the numerology.
Yeah, she shut it down.
And,
she shut it down.
And I was just like, well, all right, guess I'm not going to, you know, guess I can't be a leader then.
But look at the time, because there's no such thing as time, you know.
Right.
We make it a thing, but it's not. So this is your time.
Yeah.
And with everything, see, but this is perfect, because everything that baptism by fire that you went through with your family, taking this trip, now with your brother, now the understanding, the tangible self-compassion, this is what will add to the value and the fortitude within yourself as a reader. All these things shapes us. You know, like when Tessa called us and she's talking to us about her 12-year-old son, and I was so, it's weird, because it's a weird thing to say. I was actually happy, and that sounds weird, to have been able to give support that wasn't patronizing. It wasn't filled with platitudes. It was one mother reaching out to another mother, navigating parallel circumstances when my son was that age. And to have gone through, you know, like a 6-year period with my child, and to get a taste going through the other side. It's more than a taste. It's actually the experience of getting through the other side. And I'm so damn, I'm like, there's still issues and things like that. But in terms of his safety and our connection and his devotion as a son, because he's now 18 and the maturity and all of that, and he's become more stabilized in the last year. Do we still have, you know, concerns and things that I need to deal with his education and everything else? Yes, that's a piece of cake compared to the emotional crisis and his safety and his well-being. So,
right.
I just felt like, oh my God, if I didn't go to get to the other side of the challenges with my child, I couldn't just be there for her in the most authentic way. We were able to relate to each other. That's privilege to a dominant culture saying it's privilege. No, that's bullshit. That's true privilege in my opinion. So for you, I say all this for you, it's a privilege that you have navigated this path not really knowing why, right? And now you're getting such clarity that when you step into that role as being the numerologist at the Atlanta Psychic Fair, look at the gains from all of this investment of all of this work that you've been doing your whole life. But the most important part is to have self-compassion. That's huge, because if being mindful of the judgments that are imposed on yourself, because sometimes that's habit, because we're so used to that. Sometimes that's habit. So just notice and then let it go. And let's pull a message. Let me pull it up.
Well, actually, we do have a hand raised.
Oh, how dare them. Okay, yes.
We'll use the pull message. We do have a hand raised. We'll probably pull a message anyway. See what happens.
Let's see what it is. Maybe they'll pull a message. Let's see what it is.
Yeah. This is area code 415. Hello.
Jessica.
Oh, it's Jessica. Well, perfect timing. Okay, so I got it. Jessica, you know what to do. All right, you got it. She'll pull
the message. Here we go.
Okay. Okay, got it. So isn't that funny? I was feeling, okay, we have to pull a message, and then there she is. So that's who's pulling the message. I just felt that. All right, the number with this message is 925. Oh, Alisa, this is perfect for what we were just talking about. So thank you for picking this message, Jessica. This is for everybody. Okay. The grace to seek forgiveness, and I'm going to just include in this, in parentheses, forgiveness, and then parentheses, self-forgiveness. The grace to seek forgiveness arises from vulnerability. The strength and wisdom gained from this act strengthens and prepares you for the light. Alisa, preparing you for the, hello. Jessica, preparing you for whatever you got going on. I'll read it again. The grace to seek forgiveness arises from vulnerability. The strength and wisdom gained from this act strengthens and prepares you for the light. 925.
Well, when you first said 9 to 5, I'm, of course, thinking of the song. It's been playing in my head.
Working 9 to 5. That's funny. I didn't get that. Ha, ha, ha. All right, Dolly.
9 to 5. All right. But yeah, well, I love the message. I love that the overall vibration of this message is a 7. That's what all those equal.
Oh, wow.
7. And I love that 7 is made up of a 9, a 2, and a 5. Because the 9 is that bigger picture, source-driven, source-centered vibe that we all start from, really. And that's what we can always pull from. That leading number is saying, look at the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, and it's not meant to try, we're all one, but because we all come from the same place. And our experiences are going to be very different. Just like being in a family, you can have all the siblings, different perspectives. That's okay. The 2 is saying, build those relationships, not only with others, but also with yourself, so you can really receive what's happening with you. Like with this bigger picture, 9 is about the information and the experiences that you receive, and also the experiences that you share with other people, and the experiences that you just have that you sometimes you can reserve it, but sometimes you have to realize when you're in it. And then the five is about the changes that come from understanding, integrating that information, those experiences into who you are now. So the five says stretch beyond what you think you know, or what you think you saw, or what you think you heard. Stretch beyond that. And a lot of the cues that they're showing me is that, you know, we have these cues from other people around us because we don't live life in a vacuum. Even if you are fairly isolated or you're introverted, you still have to get around and still have to talk to other people. So even the people that you do meet, and you can even justify it, say, oh, well, they don't know me that well. Or maybe they know me too well. That's why I avoid them. But they will always show you an aspect of yourself that you just take in. It's neither good nor bad until you put a spin on it, right? You just have to see, okay, well, what am I picking up today? Like for instance, like every time we do a show, I do a show with Liz. No, I know Liz picks up on energy, so she can know if I'm like, oh, she's fried today. She's just tired. Or if I'm disturbed, or, you know, she picks up on that stuff. I have to wait a little bit, but I can tell when I hear it. I'll hear certain things like, oh, something's going on. And it's like, well, those are things that not that you have to have that within you, but you had to have experienced it, I think, to kind of get that vibe or to have seen it in some capacity. So it's something that you have filed away. And that's part of what I think of with law of attraction. That energy is stuff that you pick up on. And then they're saying you can pick up on it, but until you see it within yourself, it really won't make sense. And that's part of like owning it, like owning, like when you're angry. Like so many years ago, some people would say, why are you so angry? Or, you know, picking up on anger. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm angry. And now I get it. I'm like, yeah, I was taking on a lot of anger. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't understand growing up. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, there is anger there, and I have to own it. I can't be like, well, that's somebody else's. You know, it might be somebody else's, but I certainly picked up on it. And I'm like, well, what's going on? So there are opportunities throughout life to lead with that 9, the 925, and to see what the bigger picture is. But like I said, the overall vibration of that is that 7. And the 7 is going to say, look, there's a lot of stuff you're not going to understand right away. You have to focus in on it, not linger and like pick it apart. This is not necessarily about the analysis part, although that's an aspect of it. But it's that mystical part of the 7 where there's a lot of things that happen, and you just have to just trust. Like that intuition that you can't say, I can't like do an empirical thing about it and show you, boil it down and say, well, these are the parts of it. It's just an intuition. It's a flow. And the more you trust that, the more that flow continues to flow, then you start to trust more in what is happening, how you interpret it. And all that changes the more you do it. Just like all of us started at one point understanding just one thing about our gifts of intuition or psychic ability or looking at cards or interpreting signs. We all start off with it with a very limited viewpoint because, you know, we have to be able to open ourselves up to what the scope of what that means. That's like people saying, well, I think I know you. Like, you don't know me. You know one part of me. There's a whole range of me that you're not always going to see. That doesn't mean that it's not me when you finally do see it. So it's a beautiful message because it allows for so much growth. Yeah, yep. It allows for growth, and the growth is not going to be like, oh, you know, on fairy wings and everything's perfect. Stuff is going to happen. That's why. That's why you get through that. You have to get through it. you don't just rise above it. You get through it, and then you figure out, oh, I'm in it. Let me rise above it. Now that I see it, because you have to own it.
Right.
It's a really great transformational message, addressing the transformation of self, addressing all the things that you go through that maybe you think other people, oh, it's other people or, you know, but maybe it's you. Maybe there's a part of you that resonates with that, which is why even if it's annoying, because there's a lot of stuff that can trigger, you know, can just annoy you. But then you have to think about, well, yeah, if I can name it in somebody else, it's probably because I've experienced it. I have to own those parts Mm-hmm. Not that you have to keep it, hold it. It's just, you know, it's a reference point, and it doesn't have
yep.
to be present in your existence right now, but you knew you had to go through it. You went through it. You went through
right.
it. And
it's in the library.
Wisdom in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's wisdom
yep.
in that.
So, Jessica, how does that line up?
That's good. Yeah, no comment. That's good. It's just something to sit with.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
good.
You.
Good.
Thank you.
Good to hear from
bye.
You.
All right.
Wow. That's
yeah,
a
have
great
a good day.
Message, though. Thank you. That's
yeah,
a great
really
message,
was.
Though. Wow. Yeah. You did send that one to me, right?
You know I did.
Okay. All right. Here it is. I see it. I see it. That's good. Yeah.
Yep, there it is.
Woo. Whoop. Yep. There it is. Yeah.
There it is.
There's so much. Yeah. Yeah,
so
funny.
Yeah, so funny.
Oh,
I was
and
just feeling that. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, the grace to seek forgiveness. Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Arises from vulnerability.
That's us. That's forgiving ourselves.
That
and we're not like, why am I taking a nap? Why am I this? It's, hello, forgive yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just, that is perfect. That is perfect for all the stuff
that you're embarking on.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, okay, we have to pull a message. And then I didn't know she, because I don't run the controls. I didn't know we had anybody in the queue. So perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are times when I'll see it. And I'm like, no, we're in the flow right now. So I don't want to disrupt it. That's,
right.
That's my choice. Because I'm like, we're
look,
talking
honey,
about
honey, you run the controls. You the boss.
And there's not a natural break or segue.
No.
I want to say hi to Marguerite. She says, happy Pi Day. So it is 3:14.
Oh, is
so.
That? Oh, yeah, it's Pi. All right.
Happy Pi Day.
Yep. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I got
Happy St.
Yes.
Patrick's Day, right?
I love
right.
me some Irish soda bread. I went to the store yesterday. I got the last loaf. People were like, yes, got the last loaf. I love me some Irish soda bread. I should really learn how to make it. Love it, right? Now I want some.
Yeah.
Mm.
I would need to have the gluten-free version of it.
Oh, that's true. That's right. I wonder if they make – I'm sure you can find it someplace for like $100.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. It's okay. I'll just have like the corned beef and cabbage or something like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that too. Love it, love it. But yeah, it's typically like Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Eve. Those are like three dates off the top of my head that it's like I like to lay very low because the streets get crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah here, everywhere
can get a little crazy. I think we were up there around St. Patrick's Day a few years ago.
Yes, yes,
and,
we were, yep.
Yeah, and Amy made that corned beef and cabbage.
That's right.
That was
fun.
Good.
That was fun, the good old days, pre-COVID, yeah.
Good old days.
The
wow.
good old days, I know. Everything still will never be the same. And that's okay,
yeah.
because that's the nature of things. But, this is really great. And, you know, and little over 2 weeks from now, if it lines up with everything with you, that you'll be doing the psychic fair, 2-3 weeks, whatever it is. And you're in preparation for that. I mean, the forgiveness for this, like, this is going to be really interesting when you step into it. I feel very, there's a lot of light energy. Almost like a golden, like a nice golden energy color with that vibe. I'm getting the color gold. So I don't know what that means. Yeah.
I think it,
yeah. Just think about maybe wear something or that reminds you of that, you know, like just the beautiful colors of the fall, even though we're going into spring, but just a golden, just nice golden brown, this beautiful vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
That color just came in, so I'm just, you take that, do with it what you want. So on that note, if any of you would like to get a hold of us, please send an email to loablend@gmail.com, and we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Take very good care of yourselves. Forgive yourselves and each other, And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Bye.